I was speaking about the tithe of God. And unfortunately, I had to stop halfway through. But today we're going to finish that sermon. Remember what we were saying? We were talking that the tithe represents something spiritually speaking. The tithe is the Lord's holy portion. And the scripture says that the Lord's portion is his people. And we were saying that each one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. To receive what is due us in the because of our deeds in the body, whether we have done good or bad. But for our minister, we will also need to give an offering of our people too. That's why in our preaching and our teaching, we must prepare our people for that day. Remember, the Apostle Paul spoke of giving his offering of the Gentiles before God. That they may be acceptable and sanctified unto God. So we have more responsibility as leaders. James, of course, said, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren." Because we will receive the stricter judgments. Now, not only was the tithe to be the Lord's own possession, holy to him, it was also to be made up of the first fruits of all we receive. And if I was a farmer and I had 100 sheep, it will be the first 10 of those sheep that belong to the Lord. If I had 100 shillings, it's the first 10 shillings that belong to the Lord. The tithe had to be the first fruits. Remember Abel and Cain. God had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. Because Abel gave him of the first of his flocks. But Cain did not prioritize God in the same way. And when the Lord comes to take his tithe from the earth, to receive his treasured possession unto himself, those people who are taken will be considered the first fruits of all the earth. So often today, believers are marginalized or pushed to the side. People look down on them, say, "Oh, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, get out of my way." But this will all change at the coming of Jesus Christ. Then we will be simply the first fruits of all the earth. And bar Christ himself, we will be the most important people on this earth. Jesus says, many who are first will be last, but the last will be first. And you will rule and reign with him. You may not see that now, but that will happen when Jesus returns. And God is looking for a people whom he can entrust with that sort of responsibility. And if you cannot be faithful in the small matters of the things on this earth, if you cannot be faithful in feeding the people God gives you to feed, if you can't be faithful with the offerings God brings into the church, how are you going to be faithful with the real treasures? With real kingdom authority. Jesus is looking for people who are worthy to take his place with his Father. To sit on his throne as he sat on his Father's throne. God is looking for a people whose lifestyle is defined by their zeal for him. Who will put God first no matter what happens in their life. And before they do anything, they will think, how does this honor my God? Does this make him first in my life? Am I doing this because I love God and want to put him first in my life? Or am I doing it to benefit myself? You see, only those who put God first in their lives will make up that first fruits tithe when God comes. You know, Jesus himself was the first fruits of all the earth. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of all those who are asleep. He was the first of a whole new breed of creation. A resurrection man. We who are in Christ by faith become privileged members of this new class of being. The Bible calls us a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You see, when the Lord saved us, it was not for the purpose of improving us a little bit. That's what all those other religions try and do. God's purpose in saving you was to make you an entirely new creation in him. And Someone who is completely different to the person you used to be. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not just a slightly improved creation. A new creation. Old things are gone. Behold, all things are new. If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an entirely different breed of person to those people in the world. You are a heavenly creature based here on earth. For a time and a season, you are an undercover agent of the Most High. Existing amongst a people who are not exactly the same as you. This place is not your home. Your home is in heaven. We have the light of the glory of God on the inside. But the Bible says we have this treasure in jars of clay. Do you remember how Gideon had the army of 300 men? And he went against the Midianites, who had a huge army. But God had said, the people with you, Gideon, are too many. From having 30,000 men, he went down to 300 men. Because if Gideon had won the battle with 30,000 men, he could have boasted in the might of his men. But when he only had 300, he had to rely on God, because God had to come through for him. This is a principle of God. He will put you in a weak position in order to show His strength through you. It's called the way of wisdom. It's God's way of doing things. Jesus was not born in a king's palace. He was born in abject poverty. When Jesus hung on the cross, no one could understand how this man could be the Messiah. The idea of the Christ being crucified on a cross was just a crazy thought. But you see, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. God deliberately chooses the weak things and the despised things of this world. To shame the things that are considered wise and considered strong in this world. But Gideon took his 300 men by night. And they surrounded the camp of the Midianites. And each of them had a sword in one hand. And a jar of clay in the other. And in each of these jars of clay there was a blazing torch. But whilst that torch was in the jar of clay, you could not see any light from it. The Apostle Paul says that we have the treasure of the knowledge of the glory of God in jars of clay. From the outside, people cannot see the glory of God that is within us. If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they look at you and think, who are you? Who do you think you are? Well, I'm a son of the Most High God. I may not look very impressive on the outside, but inside there is a light of glory that is shining. And you see, when Gideon gave the order to the people, he said, raise up that jar of clay and smash it. And when the jar of clay was smashed, that's when the light shone forth. And he said, make a great cry and a shout. A sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And they completely routed the Midianites. You see, it's only when the jar of clay is smashed that the light of the glory of God is released.
You
see, it's only when we go through persecution and difficulties that the glory of God is released through us. In the days of the early church, the church was persecuted terribly. And the Christians would be thrown to the lions in the Colosseum as entertainment for the Roman people. And there are accounts of families in the Colosseum there. And in the face of certain death, they started praising the Lord God of Israel. And the glory of God came upon them so strong that the lions refused to attack them because they were too scared. You see, when the clay gets smashed, that's when the light is shone. My wife comes from the country of Bulgaria in Eastern Europe. She grew up under the government of the communists. And you were persecuted if you were a Christian. Many pastors were taken away to labor camps. My father-in-law was telling me a story of one particular labor camp. They had a pit in the ground. And they kept these large wild dogs in that pit. And if they didn't like someone, they'd throw them in that pit. And there was one pastor who was a holy man of God. Didn't look much from the outside. But when this evil commander of that camp, he was such an evil man. He hated this righteous man. And he said, let him be thrown to the dogs. So they took this man of God and they threw him to the dogs in the pit. But the glory of God was upon him. And the dogs were too scared to attack him. And when the commander saw what happened, he was convicted of his sin and became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what they did with that commander? They threw him to the dogs instead. And they chewed him up. But at least he was a believer. And God had saved his lost soul. You see, when the clay jar gets smashed, that's when the light of the glory of God shines forth. The Bible says, beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not yet appeared yet what we will be like. But when he appears, we know that we will be like him. Because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. Brothers and sisters, we have a great hope. One day we will leave this old rotten body behind. We won't need any reading glasses anymore. We will have new, spiritual, powerful bodies. As he is, so shall we be. And we will be the firstborn of all creation. The Bible speaks of the church of the firstborn. Whose names are written in heaven. Now the first fruits were always presented before God. To be accepted on his altar. When Jesus returns, we will be presented before him. As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him. Now, as the tithe was to be brought unto God, it was to be brought into the storehouse of God. Now, many pastors today say that means it should be brought into my church. Because my church is the storehouse. Actually, the storehouses were rooms in the temple in Jerusalem. There were special rooms prepared for the purpose of storing up the tithe when it was brought to the temple.
Ot manog iyobo any iot madit melegani kamagi kero
And as people would bring the grain and all the different offerings, they would store them in these special rooms consecrated for the purpose. And as the tithe was gathered from all Israel, so there is coming a day when God will send out his angels. To gather together his holy possession, his holy people. To be brought into God's house. John 14:2-3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. You could say many storehouses for the tithe. And if I go to prepare a place for you. And if I do that, I will come back to receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Do you see how that relates to the tithe? The idea of the Lord Jesus receiving his tithe unto himself. Bringing it into the storehouse in his Father's house. John the Baptist said much the same thing. In Luke 3:17, he said of the Messiah who was to come, said his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He's not going to deal with the world yet. He's going to deal with his threshing floor. Judgment begins first at the household of God. And he will separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. And he says he will gather the wheat into his barn. His storehouse. He will gather his tithe into his storehouse. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now in the times of Nehemiah, Jerusalem of course had been destroyed by the Babylonian army. They had destroyed the beautiful temple and broken down the walls of Jerusalem. And God put it into Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the house of God. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he was constantly opposed by some of the leaders from the lands round about. Men called Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershom. These men were Samaritans. They were a combination mix of Jews with Gentiles. So they still were sort of like the Jews, but actually they were like the Gentiles also. And because they were of a mixed race, the Jews hated them. And And that's where you get the parable of the Good Samaritan, of course. You know, to the Pharisees, in Jesus' day, the Samaritans were hated people. Because in the times of Nehemiah, they were the ones that opposed the building of God's temple. And the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. So they were to be completely despised. But these Samaritans, they demoralized the workers. They ridiculed them. They sent them frightening letters. And they threatened them by force to try to stop them to rebuild the walls. And then another time they pretended to serve the same God as Nehemiah did. Whilst at the same time opposing the work of God. You know, the devil always appears as an angel of light. He always pretends to be something good when actually he's very, very evil. Watch out for the false prophets. Because they look like sheep from the outside. But on the inside, they're ravenous wolves. And they'll suck the life out of you. But you see, whilst Nehemiah was taken away for a short time, the priest who was responsible for these storehouses in the temple, he allowed one of these wicked men to come in and live in one of these storehouses. In other words, he took out what the proper tithe from that room. He took out that which was supposed to have been there. And allowed a wicked man to dwell there instead. Spiritually speaking, it's like the tares or the chaff or the goats. Trying to pass themselves off as real believers in the church. As if they are the elect of God, they are the tithe of God. But God knows those who are His. And when Nehemiah returned, what did he do? Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. Said, I came to Jerusalem and I learned about all this evil that had been done. That Eliashibib had prepared a room for this guy in the courts of the house of God. It was very displeasing to me. So I threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. And I gave the order and they cleansed the rooms. And I returned there the utensils of the house of God. With the grain offering and the frankincense. You know, Tobiah was a very rich man. He was a wicked man, but a rich man. And he was well connected. If you upset him, you're going to create enemies for yourself. But when the man of God came along, he didn't care for any of that. He saw that the holy storehouses were being profaned by this man. And he wasted no time in going to that storehouse and throwing all his things out of that room. Remember Jesus when he made a whip one day. Because he saw that the temple had been given over to business. Instead of being a house of prayer, it had become a meeting place of businessmen. How many churches today have become places of business? Rather than a house of prayer for all nations. If Jesus came to many churches today, what would he do? He'd make himself a bigger whip, I think. And he would overturn the tables of those selling all their books. And those who are trying to do business in the house of God. And he will be filled with righteous anger about what has happened to the house of God. He would say, get these things out of here. Because zeal for his father's house would consume him. Does the same zeal overcome us? Do we have that same zeal for the holiness and purity of God's house today? When we see what is being done in Jesus' name in so many churches, does it break our hearts? When we see how people just use the pulpit to ingratiate themselves. And make the holy people of God into their slaves to serve their needs. Zeal for his house should consume us. As it consumed Nehemiah. You know, one day Jesus is going to come. And he's going to throw out every Tobiah from the temple of God. So that the storehouses are ready to receive his holy tithe. His holy people. Immediately after doing this, Nehemiah restored the gathering of the true tithe across the land. Now, in the times of Nehemiah, Jerusalem was a terrible destruction. And all the people had gone out into the fields round about so they could make a living. And there weren't enough people in Jerusalem to carry on the work there. So the Bible says that there was a tithe taken of the Jews living in Israel. So that one in every ten would go up to live in Jerusalem, the holy city. And those who went up to Jerusalem, to the holy city, were blessed by the people.
Nehemiah
11, verse 2. And the people blessed all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. This is yet another sign in the Bible of what is going to happen one day. When God takes his tithe into his holy city, those who are worthy to take part of that tithe will be blessed by of the Lord. Now, once the tithe was brought into the storehouse, it brought about the blessing of God. Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. God says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing until it overflows. I will rebuke the devourer for you. It will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, in some ways, God was talking to national Israel when he said this. Of how if Israel had obeyed in the giving of the tithe, because they were living under the law of Moses at that time, that they would have been blessed. And the blessing of the law was, you know, you'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. I'll make you the head and not the tail. That's the blessing under the law of Moses. By the way, that's the blessing of the law of Moses. It's not the blessing we have in Jesus today. These people who go around saying, I'll be blessed in the country, blessed in the city. I'll be blessed when I go out and I'll bless when I come in. They're quoting the blessings from the law of Moses. The blessing of Abraham that comes to us is something entirely different. You have no business quoting those things. Because if you want to live under those blessings and curses, you better start quoting the curses instead. Because you cannot keep the law of Moses even if you tried. Cursed shall I be in the city and cursed shall I be in the country. Just a small little point. But more importantly than just for national Israel, this scripture speaks prophetically about what will happen to us. When the Lord receives his true tithe when he returns. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, it will be like the windows of heaven are opened. And it says that the nations will stream to the house of God. And they will bring the gold of the treasures of the nations. And they will speed to you with all their camels and all their herds. And the wealth of the nations will be brought in to the people of God. We say that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the just. You don't see that happening today. Many people wishes it happens today. Many people prophesy is going to happen today. But the Bible says that happens when Jesus returns. Because that's when the first becomes last, but the last becomes first. He says that thrones will be set up for those who are worthy. If you've been faithful in the small, God will give you much. It says the sons of those who hated you, they will come and bow down at your feet. And they will lick the dust at your feet. And you will know that the Lord is God. When he transforms your fortunes before your very eyes. You see, when the tithe is brought into the storehouse, the Lord says that he will open the windows of heaven and he will pour out such a blessing upon this earth until it overflows. You know, when the time of Noah came, and the flood came, it says that the windows of heaven were opened. And that caused the whole earth to be covered in a flood of water. That's the sort of thing we're talking about when we're talking about opening the windows of heaven. In Amos chapter 9 and verse 13, God says, "Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper." And the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. When the treader of the grapes, to squeeze the grapes out, him who sows the seed, When the mountains will drip with sweet wine. You see, the curse will be lifted, and this earth will be blessed once more. The Bible says it will become a delightful land. No longer will man have to live by the sweat of his brow. No longer will be hard labor and work and toil. But we will be a blessed people. And the creation itself will be blessed also. In Romans chapter 8, it says that the anxious longing of the creation waiting eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. What is it talking about? It's talking about the resurrection of the dead. When the Lord Jesus returns and we are changed. The sons of God are finally revealed. As Gideon's men smashed those jars of clay. And the light was revealed. And in the darkness, the light shone forth. And the enemies of God were completely defeated. So we will put off this jar of clay, this body of flesh. Jesus said, the night is almost over, the day is almost here. The Apostle Paul said that actually. But the day is almost here. When Jesus returns, the day has dawned. Because it's the revealing of the sons of God. God is revealing his tithe. And everyone will be able to see us. And we will shine with the brightness of the King of Heaven. And the creation itself will be released from its curse. But when the true light starts to shine, what will it reveal? Will it reveal spots on my clean garments? Will it reveal darkness in my heart? That I thought no one could see. That's why we need to get ourselves ready today. Watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. Jesus constantly exhorted us to be ready for that day. He said, many will be taken by surprise on that day because they never got themselves ready. If you want to be some of the Lord's treasured possession, you need to be holy, sanctified unto God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Because without holiness, no one will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen.
Amen.